But the Bible says here, and Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said, let no man deceive you. So we need to take heed of who we're listening to and what we're allowing to process in our minds. Do you know that sometimes we can be listening to something and listening to it, and all of a sudden we're going, it brings that seed of doubt into us that wants to take us away from the Word of God and come back to what's popular or what's, you know, what everybody says. Well, you know, maybe God has changed his mind. And the reality is he hasn't. His word endures forever and ever and ever. So you need to take heed. Take heed to what? To what you're allowing to come in to form your thought process. Right? We're going to look at this from many angles. But look at Mark chapter 4. Where you're Matthew. Turn to Mark chapter 4. I think it's important that we get a hold of our thoughts as quickly as possible. Mark 4 and 24. And then Jesus said to them, take heed to what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and you will be, and to who you hear, more will be given to those who hear. And he was talking about the Spirit, but look at what he said. It says, take heed to what you hear. Are you hearing from God? Are you listening to God? Are you letting your thoughts be bathed by the Word of God? Or are you allowing circumstances? Are you allowing culture? Are you allowing other things to filter His Word through? Right? My joy is not determined by my circumstances. My peace is not determined by what I see on the news. Right? Come on. My faith is not determined by what others are doing. It's determined by what God has said, but I need to take heed to what I'm hearing. I need to discern what I'm hearing. Again, I think it's really interesting because what we're hearing has an effect on everything. Because what you hear, the first thought that you meditate on and pay attention to, it grows unless you pluck it out and replace it with something else. God wants us to know that He has a plan for our life, and the plan is good, and the plan is full of freedom and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Not without obstacles and not without pressure, but those are all external things. What I'm talking about is inside-minded, that the Spirit of God wants to put inside of you some things that you are having trouble receiving because you're not taking heed to what you're hearing. Come on. Did you know that God's not a Democrat or Republican? And yet we're basing all of our stuff on that stuff. When God is in control. He's the Lord of my life. No matter what happens to me, I need to continually remind myself who He is. And begin to develop a thought life like God is in every thought. He's got to be able to filter every thought. So you have to take thought. What are you thinking? And what are you thinking on purpose? And what thinking are you allowing to come to you? Because it's important. It's vital that we begin to take heed. Not only to what we hear, but other things also. Look at Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Again, I've used this analogy before, but it's like, have you ever been driving and been going down a road and you say, this isn't right, but you keep going down the road. This isn't right. This isn't right. This isn't right. But bless God, I'm going to continue. Well, you know, the further you go down that road, guess what? The further you have to come back. I'll tell you a story. This is years ago. Renita's mom had given us a car, and Michael and I went down to get it. He had his permit at the time. And there was some mix-up, and I didn't have the debit card, and I didn't have any cash. So we're and I found this out when we're about halfway home. And I'd planned to stop halfway home and get a hotel room, you know, be fresh for the next day. That wasn't happening now. Nothing. I mean, literally, and I'll carry this on, but we got home on fumes driving in the driveway. But God put us all the way through. We didn't eat that morning, but we had gas to get home. But we're driving through. We came out of Idaho and into Oregon. We're driving in northern Oregon, and I saw this sign to Richland. And I'd never driven that way before, so I thought, "Oh, this must be a shortcut to Richland, Washington." And so this mountain road's going down into valleys and uphills and all of that. 10 minutes go by, 20 minutes go by, 45 minutes, and in an hour later, we ended up in Richland, Oregon. I think it's the only time I've ever scared Michael in a car, because I got back. It took us 45 minutes to an hour to get there. I think I got back in about 40 minutes. I was so angry and worked up that I just drove like crazy. But I had to travel that in order to get back to the destination so that I could go on to where I was supposed to go. And sometimes with our thoughts, we allow them to go places, and they're so far down there that we can't understand why. God, I was with you here, but I've gone clear over here, and how come I can't just get back here and go forward? It's because we have to go through what we've been through to get back to where we were in order to go on. So you know what the best thing to do is? Is stay on the right road. Right? Stay on the right road. And in order to do that, you have to have discernment and you have to take heed. Chapter 13, and look at verse 5. And Jesus answered them and began to say, "Take heed that no one deceives you." It's your responsibility to make sure that you're not deceived. Now let me tell you the criteria that I believe that we need to have in order for us to take heed and not fall into deception. First of all, we have to be readers of His Word. We have to take His Word as our last priority. This settles everything. If His Word says it, that's it. I'm not going to sway to the left or the right. It's His Word. But there's also something that's on the inside of us. It's a still small voice that's in the core of who we are. In fact, it says that His Spirit dwells in our spirit. His Spirit speaks to our spirit and tells us even that we're children of God. But we need to begin to listen to our spirit. I'll just put it another way. What's your gut telling you? Right? What's your gut telling you? The minute your gut begins to get a knot in it, stop and say, "I need to discern. I need to discern what's going on here so that I don't start going down a road that I'm violating what my spirit is trying to tell me, because I don't want to end up in Richland, Oregon when God wants me in Richland, Washington." Do you hear where I'm going? We have to take heed. We have to be people who are beginning to listen to our hearts and listening to our thoughts and making them come into line with what God has said. Oftentimes, watch this, God will move in our midst and something powerful will happen in our lives, but we don't discern our thoughts and the enemy comes to talk us out of what God has done. I mean, you can be in a service where the joy of the Lord comes all over you and God is just moving in you and you just go, "Oh, bless God, I feel His presence so much. Woo, glory to God." But if not that afternoon, by the next day, you haven't held on to what God has said to you, and you've let your thoughts go back to how miserable it was before. Right? And we have to begin to come back to the place, no, I am going to put a gate up in my mind that doesn't allow the former things to take over the new things. Are you listening to me? It's like, what are you thinking? What are you allowing? Where are you allowing your thoughts to go? It's why it's so important for us to really take heed to what we're listening to. Take heed to who we're allowing to speak into our lives. Take heed. Look at this. Verse 6 says, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of war, do not be troubled, for such things must happen before, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But watch out for yourselves that they do not deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and the kings for my name's sake as a testimony to me. And the gospel must be preached to all nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate on what you will speak. But whatever is given to you in that same hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother, and father will his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated for all my name's sake, but he who endures till the end shall be saved." So look, isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? But watch this. We can allow ourselves to be deceived. Now, I'm just going to get off just a little bit, but we'll get right back to where I am. That I believe that we are in the last days. And if I read my Bible correctly, there's going to be a falling away in the body of Christ. And what that means is those that are just nominal are going to say, well, this is either too tough, or this doesn't make sense to them anymore, or I'm following something else now. I've gone beyond the Bible. I mean, all of those things. But the Bible predicts there will be a big falling away. But you know what Jesus said to those that fall away? He said, be very careful, because when that happens, there will be gnashing of teeth. I mean, they're leading people astray into the pit of hell, when we need to be aware and be careful and to be understanding that I'm not going to be one of those that's drawn away. But if I'm not going to be drawn away, I've got to be careful to what I'm thinking. I've got to be careful to what I'm hearing. I've got to beware. I've got to take heed to the thoughts that I'm allowing into myself. Right? And even in our own minds with the things that we're hearing on the news, if we don't allow the Spirit of God to discern that and pick out the truth. But watch this. Did you know that deception doesn't come always as a big fat lie? Why? Because that would be easy to swallow. Right? Jesus said, beware of the Pharisees. The Pharisees sounded good. They talked the Bible all the time. They sounded really good, but their hearts were far from God. Here's what the devil will do. He's just like somebody that wants to poison an animal. You don't take up poison to the animal and say, here, eat it. What you do is you take the poison, you put it in a nice piece of hamburger, stuff it down in the middle of it so that the dog will eat the meat. Right? And so what do we need to do? We don't have to be afraid. We just have to constantly be before the Father and say, Father, your word is truth. I am delighting in your word. I thank you that your Spirit is with me. And yes, Lord, no matter what happens, we have to determine in our heart right now that no matter what happens, I will never, ever, ever, ever denounce the name of Jesus. Never. Never. I will never walk away. I will never be defeated. I won't quit. He is for me. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what others are saying. I am determined with all of my heart to serve Him, but I must be on guard with the thoughts that I allow into my head. Many will be deceived. Many will be deceived. Who are those that are deceived? Those that ate of the poison. And the way they eat of the poison is they begin to listen to compromise and the lies. And we've got to come back to the place where, no, God, I need Your Word more than ever. I need to be careful about what I'm listening to, even my own head. Right? Come on. God is with us. He's for us. Go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. In verse 18, it says, "Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to more will be given to him, and whoever does not have, even what seems to have will be taken from him." He said, "Take heed how you hear." Is your heart right to hear? Are you open to hear what the Spirit of God is saying? Or are you so full of yourself and the way that you think that He couldn't speak truth to you if He wanted to? What does that mean? That we have to continually be humble before God. We have to say, "God, God, there's a possibility that I'm not quite right." We have to say, "God, only You know my heart. Only You know the truth. Only You. But I'm coming to You, God, with an open heart for You to speak into me so that I know Your truth." Come on. Jesus said it this way. He said this to believers. He said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You cannot be a guarder of your thoughts without being a disciplined follower of Jesus. How many know that change is hard? Right? Change is hard. Why is change hard? Because it takes discipline. You have to practice something that you're not used to in order to have different results. And it can't be just, "Well, you know, I think I'll go on a diet on Monday, but Tuesday I'm going to Dairy Queen, and after Dairy Queen I'm going over here." See, that doesn't work, because that's not change. Only sustained change is one that you settle in your heart and determine by discipline that you're going to do something different. And it all starts out with, what are you thinking? How are you thinking? What are you allowing? What are you allowing God to lead you in your thinking? Glory to God. We have to take heed. We have to beware. Go back to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. This is a really interesting story, and we're going to start in verse 1. Because the way things look aren't always the way things are. Let me say that one more time. The way things look is not the way things are. Watch this. Verse 1. "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, and the king of Judea, the king of Rezin, the king of Syria, the king of Pekah, the son of Remaliah." You know, if you read these fast enough, people think you know how to pronounce them, but it's really just getting through them. Right. "Went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but it could not prevail against it. And when it was told to the house of David, saying, 'Serious forces are deployed in Ephraim,' so his heart and the heart of his people were moved as the trees of the woods are moved with the wind." See, here's a situation they're in, and there's all kinds of people against them. They're in the minority, and it seems like we're in trouble here. And when people came to him and they started saying things, then they're like the trees, man, they're just moving all over. God, I think God's with us, but I don't know, and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what. I watched the news last night, and oh my God, they're going to come and take us to tomorrow. We're going to be a communist country, and we're just all over the place, right? And the reality is we need to be like the trees that are planted by the living water, that don't move, that are always the same, because our roots are in our relationship with Jesus. Come on, anybody with me this morning? Hallelujah. Now let's go on. And then the Lord said to Isaiah, now go now to Ahaz and oh boy, Jerusalem, your son, at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool and the highway to the fuller's field, and say to them, take heed and be quiet, do not fear or be faint-hearted, for these two stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Rebbe, because of Syria and Ephraim and the let us go up against Judah and trouble it, saying, let us make a gap in the wall for ourselves and the king of them forever. But thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand nor come to pass. Come on, what is God saying? If you're listening to what people are saying, then you're going to be troubled. But if you start listening to what God says, God will tell you, don't worry, don't be afraid, I'm with you. I will take you through the storm. I'll take you through the fire. I'll take you through the flood. I will be with you forever. Don't allow your thoughts to go outside of the fact that God is with you. Take heed to what you're thinking. Don't let fear come. Don't let dismay come. Don't let frustration come. You've got to tell yourself and talk to yourself over and over again that God is for me. God is with me. Come on. What can man do to me if I know that God is with me? Right? Sometimes you have to play the what if game. And what I mean by that, if you're coming from the standpoint that if God is with me, what if that happens? So what? What if that happens? So what? What if this happens? So what? God is with me. God said that He'd never leave me or forsake me. He said, the David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread. What does that mean? It doesn't matter if the economy goes to heck. It doesn't matter if somebody else takes it. It doesn't matter if God is with us, He's going to see us through. It doesn't matter if they come in here and line us up and unload on us with a machine gun. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Come on, make my day. Make my day. But you have to be so full with your thoughts of God that these other things can't penetrate. Take no thought. Everything else is going on, but God gets His view in and He says, but listen, take heed, for I'm with you. Don't let fear overtake you. Don't let all of these circumstances get you down, for I'm with you. I will be with you. I will take care of you. I will see you through. Come on. Come on. Come on. In Matthew chapter 26, it says this. It says, take no thought saying. Matthew 6:31. Take no thought saying. Thoughts are going to come to you, but don't let the thought come out of your mouth until it's filtered through the Word of God. I don't know what I'm going to do. That thought may come, but don't let it come out of your mouth. I don't know what I'm going to do. The thought comes, you go, I know what I'm going to do. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, that you've always seen me through before. You haven't deserted me. I'm with you, God. There's nothing that can separate me from your love. You see, but you can't wait until you're 10 miles down the road of what I'm not going to do and expect to get back to praise the Lord in an instant. You've got to go through the process and get yourself back there. But you've got to begin to understand that your thoughts on the loose will get you in trouble. Y'all getting something this morning? Now listen to this. I've quoted this before, and I'd give the guy credit, but I can't remember name. I think it's Dr. Archibald Hart. I think that was his name. But listen to what he said, because we get this backwards. We think, because I'm feeling something, right, that the feelings are what causes the thought process to happen. But the reality is, it's my thoughts that precede my feelings. Now that's incredible, because if I change my thinking, I can affect my feelings. But oftentimes our feelings get so ingrained in us, and we have those trigger spots, right? The trigger comes and we immediately go back to our old process of thinking, the old way of thinking, and we go back into that cave that our thoughts have put us in, instead of taking heed to what we're hearing and say, oh, no, 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 no. I'm not going there. I'm going to take the Word of God and take the thoughts captive and bring it into the obedience of Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. What am I trying to do today? I'm trying to get you to begin to listen to your thoughts and do something about them. Listen to your thoughts and begin to do something about them. Don't let your thoughts just go wild. Look at verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we should not war according to the flesh. Right? We're all in the flesh. We all have bodies. We all are living in this earth. We all see the same thing. We all go through the same thing. Right? Maybe a little different story, but we all have troubles, right? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of the flesh, but they're mighty in God. They're mighty. We've got trouble. We've got things going on, but our weapons are mighty. What does that mean? It doesn't matter what we're going through. God gives us a weapon that's mighty. In other words, it's able to get us where we need to go, right? Watch now. So cool. So good. It says, for our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? Well, you know, in the world, a stronghold is a fort or something that people are in. But that's the same thing for you. You have strongholds in your mind that are based on some of the things that you've been through, or maybe even some physical things, you know, whatever. Even some things that weren't your fault, but they built a pattern in your life to where you're thinking this way, and it affects everything in your life. But look what he says: casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, you got to pull down the stronghold by watching what you think, taking heed to what you hear, taking heed to what you say, taking heed to how you hear. Come on. But watch this. This is how strongholds come down. I'm going to tell you a story, and we'll go to one more scripture, and then we'll close. I had a friend, and the friend was abused, a male guy who was abused as a child growing up when he was small. And because of that, he had some strongholds in his mind. And he was actually in jail for some of the things that he did out of that whole mess because of strongholds that were put into him by what he suffered when he was a child. And he got saved, man, got filled with the Holy Ghost, was in church, I mean, you know, just worshiping God, loving God. But I get a call, and he's back at Orange County Jail. And I went to visit him. I went to visit him, I said, I said, "What? You know, you're saved. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. What's going on?" And he said this. He said, "Well, Bruce, when pressure comes to me, it's like there's a wall that builds up around me. And it just gets so high that I act out." So he had a stronghold that was caused by some terrible things that happened to him as a child. And he got saved and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Everything should be good then, right? Wrong. He still had strongholds that had to be broken down. Well, I'll tell you what happened to him. He went to, I don't know if it was set free minister, but he was going to go to prison for a long time, and the prosecutor wanted that. She was going to nail it too high, but his dad got a hold of this ministry that if he went to the ministry for a year, had no choice, he had to be there for over a year, 18 months, something like that. But here's what happened, is when he got to that place and he went there, 6:30 in the morning, they're awake. Half an hour, they're reading their Bible. At 7 o'clock, they have lunch or breakfast. At 7:30, they're in the Word. At 8 o'clock, they're praying. At 9, over and over, every day, day after day, praying. This went on for over a year, and he was changed. But now watch this. He was out of that and gotten free from that, and he was with his mom and dad, and they were going to the mall. He and his mom and dad and his wife, they were going to the mall, and they'd been out the night before, so they got home late, so they didn't get up as early as normal. And he's walking through the mall, praying in the Spirit under his breath. His dad, born again, saved, filled with the Spirit, all of that. He turned to him. He said, "Son, do you have to do that here?" And his response was, "Dad, my life depends on it." Because the stronghold had to be broken with discipline of his thoughts. And the thoughts were changed. His stronghold was changed. Today he's serving as a pastor and has been for years and years and years. Never been affected by that again, but it didn't get there overnight. He had to go from where he was back down the road for God to reprogram him to be in the place where he could set him free. But it came with guarding his thoughts. Your thoughts are important. Your thoughts are the doorway to your freedom, but you need to take heed to what you hear. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, everybody that's here in this room, and I believe everybody that's watching this morning, Lord, we're all in the same condition that we want more of you. We want to please you. We want you to be pleased with us. And Lord, I believe that we've let slip a lot of things that you may have told us over and over again. But this morning we're coming to you again and we're just saying, Lord, help us with our thoughts. We yield our thoughts to you. Forgive us for not taking heed to your word. But this morning we're going to do it. We want to give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you for discernment. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit working in us, God, as we listen to your voice, Lord, that you will show us what our next steps are. And the Lord, we're not hopeless, we're not helpless, but you're with us, and we want to thank you and praise you. I pray over every person that's here in the room and everybody that's watching this live stream, that God, you would give them hope and supernatural peace, and you'd spark those embers in them, Father, that would bring them up out of where the enemy has taken them, Father. And we today, Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you afresh and new. We'll serve you all the days of our life, God. You are Lord. Jesus is the Christ. And we just thank you, Father, for meeting with us and being with us. In Jesus' name. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's really simple. but yet it cost everything. You have to declare Him as your Lord. Say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I come to You and I ask Jesus to be Lord of my life. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead. And then you have to turn yourself over to Him. Let Him lead in, lead you and guide you into the things that He has for you. He's got blessings for you for sure. We're going to, if I could have the worship team come up, let's just do one more song and we'll just bless God with our voices and sing loud unto God. And if you need anything, make sure to call. Know for fact, for certain, that God is with you. God is for you. He will not desert you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're watching as we'll probably go off while the song is going on, be with Jesus. Know that He's thinking of you this morning. Think of Him in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.